To say, testify. I'm for them, ain't you? I love them, and proud of them. You'd have been proud of them. They done so good, conducted themselves so well at youth camp, and then when we went back up there, I'm proud of them. I want to thank the Lord and the people for 161 and the offering tonight. Thank you for that. Also, I want to thank everybody that came to the trash pickup and helped us pick up last weekend. We got almost $1,000 for that, so thank you all for that. I need you to help me tonight, all right? Help me. I want to preach to you what's on my heart. 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. We'll start reading in verse number 9. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days in the beginning of the barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day nor the beasts of the field by night. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, had done. We want to stop right there. If you would you stretch your hands to heaven and pray for me one more time? You read here in this story, this is a story of, we find here the nation of Israel is under judgment for the way that the house of Saul had broken its promise to the Gibeonites. They had a promise with them that they wouldn't harm them. They wasn't Israelites, but they were a small tribe, of roving people, and they made them a promise that they would not harm them. They never did become part of the nation of Israel, but that they wasn't going to harm them. They could wander in their lands. They was kind of a nomadic tribe, that they would let them wander in the land of Israel without harming them. But when Saul was king, the house of Saul raised up against these people and tried to wipe them out. And here Saul is already dead, but the Lord has put a drought on the land of Israel for 3 years. The Bible says early in that chapter that year after year, for 3 years, they had no rain. And so David begins to inquire of the Lord, "Lord, why are you punishing us? Why are you judging us?" And the Lord tells him, "I am judging you because you have not judged the house of Saul for how they broke their treaty with the Gibeonites." And so David goes, and make a long story short, they end up taking seven men from the house of Saul. They take seven of the men of the house of Saul, and they take them and they hang them outside the wall. They hang them outside the wall. And you find Rizpah, that it is a concubine of Saul. She is the mother of two of the young men that they hang. And you find her, and she takes a piece of sackcloth. It's just a black cloak. A lot different than this, but this is a good example. It's just a black cloak that she takes, and the Bible says she laid it upon the rocks for herself. She laid it upon the rocks for herself, almost like she's laying it there in preparation. She laid it out and she got it ready. And she laid it there, and the Bible said when the birds would come of the day, that she would grab it and she would begin to fight them off. She would begin to shoo them off. She'd fly them off. She wasn't going to let them. Them men are already dead. They're hung. They're laying there, but she wasn't going to let the birds get on them. She wasn't going to let them have them. She began to fight off the birds from her sons that had been hanged. And then it said that she, and I can just imagine she probably laid it right back up there. And then at night, when the beast of the night began to come around and begin to come around to devour, she'd grab it again and she'd go to fight them off. She'd fight away the beast and she'd fight away the birds. And that's where you find, that's what this little story is about. It's just a few verses right here in the middle of Samuel, and it begins to tell this little story about Rizpah. And how she fought off the birds by day and the beasts by night so that they wouldn't desecrate the bodies of her boys. That's what I want to look at tonight for a little while. First, I want to look at the desperation of her fight, how desperate she fought. I want to look at the desperation of it. We read in this time, at this same time in David's rule, you read of many, many mighty men. And you read about all kinds of mighty things that they did. I mean, some amazing things. Just it's later on in this chapter, you read of several of them that killed the sons of the giant and all of that, all these mighty things that they did. But right here, it wasn't a mighty man that we find. It wasn't one of the warriors of David that we find. But you find this little woman, this concubine of Saul, little more than a servant. Pretty much that's what they were. They were servants and that bore children for the kings. And there she was, this little servant pretty much. And here she is. She's fighting to keep away the beast from her boys. A lot of commentaries say that these men that were hanged were old enough to have children. They were young men. They probably already had wives and families at home when they killed them. And I can just imagine she probably had friends and family that was around her that began to. That I can imagine that as they hung them, you know, they probably a crowd around. Then the friends and family began to leave. They probably began to pull at her. Come on, Rizpa, let's go back home. You know. It's all over now. It's all done. Let's go back home. As the buzzards probably begin to circle around. Come on, let's go back home. Let's go back. There's nothing else we can do here. But I can remember as she began to say, No, I'm not going back. I'm not going back home. I'm going to stay here. I don't know. It probably wasn't very easy. Anybody ever shoot blackbirds out of a garden? You can run them off. And they'll circle around, and just as soon as you turn around, they'll come right back around. It probably wasn't easy. I don't know. I don't know how many times she probably had to run all over. She probably had to run from one side to the other constantly. She'd run them off over here and turn around. By the time she get back done here, they probably some more come over here. She's probably constantly whipping that sackcloth that she had around, just running them off, just keeping them run off. And I wonder. I'm sure she probably had family, the family of these young men, that they probably come and they probably said, "Hey, what are you doing? Come on, come back. There's nothing you can do now. They're dead. It's over with. You're not saving anything. You're not rescuing nothing. Why are you working so hard to do this?" But I can just imagine as she probably looked back up towards the city. It said they hung them outside the wall. I could probably just imagine as she looked back up towards the city and the children of those men begin to peep out around the wall. I believe she probably would have said something like this: "I refuse to let this next generation believe that you have to stand by and let the birds and the beasts devour what is left. I refuse to let this next generation coming up think that you have to set idly by and let sin devour what is left. Hey, we're living in a world and in a generation. They say there's nothing left worth fighting for. It's already gone too far. It's already went too far. You're never going to rescue it. You're never going to make the moral turn. You're never going to change the way the world is going. You're never going to change what's happening in the world today. You're never going to see morality come back and take a rise. You're never going to see a revival among the people again. But okay, come on here. I'm looking for some folks that'll stand up and say, "I refuse to let this generation grow up and think you have to set idly by and let sin devour what is left." I'm going to stay. until the rain. I'm going to stay until the rain. I refuse to let them grow up and think.
Amen.
You have to sit idly by and let it be devoured, and let them devour what is left. Hey, come on here. I wish some of us adults, we blame a lot on this generation. We blame a lot on these kids. But I'd like to see some adults that would stand up in this day and in this time and say, hey, I still believe where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. There is more grace. There is more power of the God available in this wicked and perverse generation than there ever been. If you are right, sir, and you are right, ma'am, and you say this is the worst time that we've ever seen, then on the same side of the coin, this is the time when there is more Spirit of God available than there has ever been. And why is there such a lack of it moving among us? Come on here. I want to stand up and say, I'm not willing to just let it go. I'm not willing to just let it pass by. I'm not willing to just write it off and go home and say, boy, what a tragedy. But I want to stand up and fight and say, I'm going to fight for what's left. I'm going to stay until the rain. I'm going to fight the birds by day and the beasts by night. And I'm going to use what God has given me. Hey, she didn't have a 12 gauge. She didn't have a 30-06. She didn't have nothing else. But she said, I'm going to take what God has given me. She took that robe of mourning and she wadded it up and she turned it in to her battle weapon, and she said, the things around me have made me sad, the things around me have caused me to mourn, but I'm going to take that very thing and I'm going to use it to fight away the powers of darkness and let this generation know that there is still a God in Israel. Oh my, I want to look, we see how desperate she fought. But I want to look at the duration, how long she fought. A lot of commentaries say, it says, from the beginning of barley harvest until the rain dropped out of heaven. She stayed all the way till the rain. Most commentators believe that was at least 6 months. At least 6 months. Every day she fought off the birds. And every night, she fought off the beast. I can only imagine probably after several months had gone by, her family probably come back out and said, Rizpah, you fought off the birds. You fought off the beast. We admire you for all you've done. But now nature has already done what you wouldn't let the birds and the beast do. They've already decayed. Later on in that chapter, it said they come and gathered their bones. That was all that was left. Nature has already decayed what you wouldn't let the birds and the beasts do. Why are you here? Why are you still fighting? Why are you still carrying on? Why are you still putting so much effort into it? What are you doing? What are you doing here? Come on here. I believe she said, I'm going to stay until the rain. This is 3 years. They ain't had no rain. I can just imagine those grandbabies growing up. I think her heart was broken at the world that they was having to grow up in. Their fathers, they've seen their fathers die. Their land is in drought. They're in poverty. Yes, they're impoverished. And it began to break her heart. And she said, I'm not going to quit until God looks down and sees what's happened, and God begins to move on my behalf. I don't care how long it has to take. I don't care how long it is. I'm going to continue to stay here until I feel the rain of heaven begin to flow. Hey, as Brother Norman was talking about a gully washer. Hey, come on here. I'd like to see some folks make up their mind and say, I don't care how long it has to take. If it's 6 months of sitting out here watching over dead corpses and fighting away birds every day and beasts every night. We don't know what all she had to fight. The Bible don't tell us, but it don't normally say beast when it's talking about possums. Come on. I don't know what all she had to fight. But we know but from the same stories in that time there was lions there. There were bears there. There were things that were ferocious there, and I believe that this is one of the miracles that are often overlooked in this book. God began to move on men, but I also believe God began to move on this little woman. And when lions and bears and things of those nature begin to come out and try to devour what was there, I believe she fought them just like she did the buzzards of the day. We don't know how long she had to fight. We don't know what all she had to fight, but we do know that she determined, I'm not leaving here. I'm staying until I see the rain. I'm staying until God begins to move on my land again, and this generation coming up below me begins to see an outpouring from the Lord. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm going to stay until the rain. I want you to look, lastly, at the deliverance that her fight brought her. You've seen she fought with determination. You've seen she fought for a long time and endured it. The duration of her fight. Look at the deliverance that her fight brought her. For the Bible says, let's see, it's in verse 11. It says, and it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which they had stolen from the streets of Bethshan when the Philistines had hanged them there, when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged, and the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son buried they in the country of Benjamin, in Zelah, in the sepulchre of Kish his father. And they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. You look at all that was done. This has been, a lot of commentators believe, at least 5 years has gone by since the men of Jabesh Gilead went and stole back the bodies of Saul and Jonathan and buried them at Jabesh Gilead. They done a great thing, but it was not where they was meant to be buried. They were meant to be buried among their fathers in their traditional burial ground. And I can imagine she was probably, while she was fighting, she probably think, maybe somebody will tell the king how hard I'm working out here, and they'll come and he'll do what's right. And he'll bury them decently. And he'll give them a decent burial. But I don't think she ever imagined that he'd go all the way back and get the bones of her husband and the bones of his son and bring them back and bury them all where they was intended to be buried. I think when the king showed up, he performed a lot more than she ever thought he would. I think when the king come on the scene, a lot more got done than she was ever expecting. Listen, then it says, and God was entreated for the land. That phrase in verse number 10, at the beginning of harvest until water dropped on them out of heaven. In the original, you can interpret that drop, that word that is interpreted as dropped. It can also be interpreted as if poured out of buckets. So it can be interpreted as a phrase or as a word. And when they was interpreting the Bible, they put it as dropped. But it could also read like this. It could also read, from harvest until water poured as if out of buckets upon them out of heaven. She stayed until she got the gully washer she'd been praying for. Yeah. She stayed until she got that gully washer she had been praying for. She said, oh, it's been a long fight. I've had to go through untelling what torments and of sleepless nights and sleepless days, baking in the hot sun. There ain't enough water to go around, no way. And here she is wearing herself out, fighting away the birds and fighting away the beast and living outside, just sitting up all night and all day, probably just catnapping, just wish she could, jumping awake to fight away whatever crawled around.
Hey, but when the rain began to fall, she said, it's worth every bit of it. I stayed until the rain, and it didn't just rain a little bit. It didn't just rain enough to revive everything, but it began to pour as if out of buckets, a gully washer from out of heaven upon them, and he was entreated for the land. Come on here. I'm looking for some folks that'll say, I'm going to stay through the thick and through the thin. I'm going to stay no matter how long it takes. I'm going to stay until I see the power of God begin to pour out upon this land again. I'm going to stay until I see the water begin to pour out of heaven.
When I was praying about this today, I felt like I needed to tell somebody, you're just wore out with it. You started out fighting real strong. You started out just going all as hard as you could, going all out. But you wore down with the duration of it. You're wore down. It lasted a long. The battles lasted a lot longer than you thought it would. The fights lasted a lot longer than you thought it would. I come to encourage you tonight. Don't quit yet. Don't quit yet, because when the king shows up, there'll be a lot more happen than you ever expected. He'll do a lot more in your situation than you ever expected. If you'll stay true, if you'll still fight, if you'll just keep on fighting, if you'll stick it out until the rain, if you'll stay until the rain, you'll begin to see an outpour from glory like you never dreamed would happen. You'll begin to see your lost folks come in. Hey, come on here. Hey, come on here. I still believe what you was preaching right, and I believe if what you was saying up here testifying was right, if we'll begin to pray, if we'll stay until we see the glory begin to pour out upon our people again, I still believe it, don't you? I don't believe it's false. I don't believe it's made up. I still believe how many times was it we've heard the Lord speak here and say the Lord's going to bless us and the Lord's going to move for us? The last time I could think of was when Brother Lloyd was here, the Holy Ghost spoke and said he was going to bless us here. He was going to touch us, going to do great things for us. Then he came back and said again, he just felt impressed upon him that the Lord was going to anoint us here and help us here. Come on here. I come to tell somebody, you got weary with it. You got weary. Hey, you're worn down from the fight and you're worn down from the battle and you feel like you just can't go on any longer. Hey, there, you didn't get the results you thought right off the bat, but I'm here to tell you, don't give up yet, and don't quit fighting yet. If you'll stay until the rain, you'll get more than you ever expected. If you'll stay until the king comes by, he'll move like you never thought he would. God in heaven, I wish I could preach. I wish I could preach. I wish I could pour it out like I felt it this morning. Oh God, I wish I could get it out like I felt it this morning. Oh, I felt like somebody's heart was so heavy. Oh, you're so beat down and worn down. You just say you've done all you can do. Your strength is just zapped. Yeah, your energy is just gone. And you just feel like you're so beat down. You can't fight off one more thing. You feel like you can't fight off one more buzzard. You can't kill one more possum. You can't do one more thing. If it comes by again, it's just the last thing. I can't do it no more. Hey, but I come by to tell you, don't give up just yet. Don't quit just yet. The king's heard about what you're doing outside the wall. The king's heard about what you're doing down there. And when the king comes by, when the king comes by, he'll do more than you ever thought he would. You'll see more than you was expecting. Oh, God. Oh, God, I'm coming to a close. If you want to come get us a song, I'm coming to a close. Oh, I felt it so strong. I felt it so strong. Don't quit yet. Don't quit yet. That lost loved one you've been praying for, don't quit just yet. Hey, your friends are saying it's no hope. Your friends are saying they're dead. What are you guarding it for? Your friends are saying it's useless. What are you doing here? What are you fighting this for? You're not going to do anything. You're never going to make any difference. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? But I come by to tell you, don't quit yet. Don't quit yet. Just stay until the rain. Just fight it one more round. Just give it one more round. Who knows what this might be, the end of that 6 months that you've been praying for. Who knows that this might be, hey, this might be the time when water begins to pour out of heaven and you begin to see exactly what you've been praying for. Oh, these altars are open. These altars are open. Would you come up here? Oh, say, God, give me another strength. Give me the strength to fight it out one more round. Ah, give me the faith to believe. Give me the faith to believe that you'll do more than I was even expecting.